The Clean Slate New York campaign has called for the immediate passage of Clean Slate legislation before the end of the session next week. Now, what would that mean exactly? The legislation would automatically remove a person's conviction record after they've finished parole. Jerome Wright is an activist with the campaign. He says the legislation would change the dynamic for various New Yorkers who have these conviction records.
With a clean slate, we can clean the records for people who weren't guilty, who were falsely accused. We can clean the records of those who duly served their time and now back trying to get their lives back on track.
Advocates say this would open up opportunities to get jobs, housing, and education for 2.3 million New Yorkers who have conviction records.
You're listening to C19. WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region.
Coming up, Senator Schumer wants to start dredging at Jones Beach as soon as possible. A Suffolk teen is arrested for a hate crime. And in Connecticut, the growing education gap in Fairfield County.
I'm Bill Buckner.
And I'm Sabrina Garone.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York calls for an immediate start to a $19 million project to dredge a navigation route near Jones Beach on Long Island. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
Jones Inlet hasn't been dredged since 2014. The buildup of sand in the waterway can create large waves, shallow water, and other dangerous conditions for boaters. Schumer says he pushed the Biden administration to fund the project, but he's concerned that bureaucratic red tape at the Army Corps of Engineers will slow it down.
This is an ASAP project that has urgency to safety, climate, and the economy, because tourism, we depend here on the South Shore for tourism, and boating is such an important part of it.
Schumer says the upcoming hurricane season and storm surges could cause even more sand to clog up the waterway. Jones Inlet connects Nassau County's bays with the Atlantic Ocean. Two Long Island men died last year when their boat capsized in the inlet. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Suffolk County police have arrested a 13-year-old for assault as a hate crime. However, police say they won't be arresting others who were involved in the attack. WSHU's Charles Lane reports.
Jasbir Singh told police that he was walking through the Walt Whitman Mall when a group of boys called him Muhammad and punched him in the face. Singh fled and was chased by the group through the mall. According to Singh's father, Satbir Singh, police initially dismissed the incident as a scuffle between juveniles. Singh is a prominent community activist in Nassau. He doesn't think police took the case seriously until he brought attention to it online. Also, he wants to know, what about the other kids involved?
Why aren't the kids being held accountable for everything they did? Only one kid gets arrested. What happens to the others? They walk away with it?
According to Singh, it was a group of six or seven. A boy not arrested threatened to knock his turban off, and a third recorded everything. Suffolk police say they are not planning any more arrests at this time. Because the teen who was arrested is a juvenile, his name was not provided by police. His attorney's information is unknown. Charles Lane, WSHU News.
As Fairfield County emerges from the pandemic, there's concern that the achievement gap in public education has grown. More on that in just a bit, but first headlines and a message from C19's supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
All Connecticut residents and New Yorkers over 12 are eligible for the vaccine. Residents can receive their first dose without an appointment at most state-run sites, though appointments could still be needed for second doses.
Connecticut residents, you can schedule an appointment by visiting ct.gov/COVID-vaccine or call 877-918-2224. New Yorkers, you can schedule an appointment using the Am I Eligible app or by calling 833-697-4829.
Some members of Congress from our region this week pressured ongoing infrastructure negotiations to include funding for a high-speed passenger rail that would get commuters from New York to Boston in 100 minutes. The North Atlantic Rail Network would go from New York City along the LIRR to Ronkonkoma, then go beneath the Long Island Sound to New Haven before heading to Hartford, Providence, and then Boston. Here's a fun fact. Connecticut's craft beer industry is a nearly $3 billion economic driver for the state. That's according to the National Beer Wholesalers Association and the Beer Institute. The beer industry in Connecticut has contributed over 17,800 jobs. The state makes up nearly 1% of the whole country's $332 billion beer economy. As Fairfield County emerges from the pandemic, there's a concern that the achievement gap in public education has grown. Although public school districts in the state will receive more than $1 billion in pandemic relief from the federal government, it's not likely to close the gap. A large-scale public-private partnership with hedge fund billionaire Ray Dalio's Family Foundation was launched in 2019. It was unsuccessful. As part of a collaboration with the Solutions Journalism Network, WSHU's Ebong Udama looks at what went wrong and how smaller partnerships have worked.
Governor Ned Lamont was enthusiastic when he launched the Connecticut Partnership for Education in a packed gymnasium at East Hartford High School.
The Dalio Foundation is going to contribute $100 million to make sure your education is the best that it can be. Your education is the best that it can be. We educate the whole person. We love the student.
Connecticut was to match the Dalio gift over 5 years and work to raise another $100 million from other philanthropic groups. But the partnership was hardly up and running before it fell apart the very first year. A disappointed Lamont, who'd styled himself Connecticut's education governor, again made the announcement.
I came into this job, I really wanted to be the education governor. I thought it was the most important thing I could do in terms of the future of our state and the future of a lot of kids, some of whom were getting left behind.
There was a silver lining to the short-lived partnership, which came in handy in the opening days of the pandemic.
And that partnership, you know, in a year, made available 60,000 laptops for kids who would otherwise not have access to education. Online education.
State Representative Vincent Candelora is the House Republican minority leader. He and some other lawmakers had opposed the partnership. Candelora says the problem was a clash of cultures between the public and private sectors.
I think generally the concern that I had had with the way that was structured is that we created a sort of quasi-public agency and exempted it from freedom of information laws, so that it was able to operate in secret, despite the fact that public officials were serving on that board.
Candelora says of paramount concern was the fact that $100 million in public funds were to be potentially administered by a private entity.
The same rules just don't apply to government as they do to private business. And I think it just sort of collapsed because of in part, the way that business was structured.
But he says not all public-private partnerships lack public transparency.
We do have success stories like our airport authority.
And even in education.
I think we could point to a lot of charter schools, and even the Dalio Foundation itself does a lot of great philanthropic work for education.
There's an irony here that you have this great wealth that allows philanthropists to be in a position to donate significant amounts of money.
That's Fred McKinney. He is the Carlton Highsmith Chair of Innovation and Entrepreneurship at Quinnipiac University. McKinney believes public education would be more equitably funded if the wealthy paid more in taxes.
That very system that created that wealth also created the poverty that those philanthropists, business philanthropists, are trying to address. So I think we really in this country have to say there is an amount of money that is enough.
McKinney acknowledges that the Connecticut partnership did provide 60,000 laptops for students from underserved communities that otherwise would not have been available to the students during the pandemic. This year, progressive Democrats proposed increased taxes on the wealthy, but it did not have Lamont's support, and the proposals died during budget negotiations with the governor. Patrice McCarthy is with the Connecticut Association of Boards of Education. She believes there's a role for wealthy philanthropists. She says the scale of the Dalio Foundation's partnership with Connecticut was probably the problem. McCarthy says for years, the foundation has worked very successfully with individual schools.
For instance, a school district can work directly with a foundation like the Dalio Foundation and identify specific goals that can really make significant contributions for the education system.
She says the foundation's ability to get laptops and free Wi-Fi to thousands of students across the state during the lockdown should not be dismissed.
The Dalio Foundation funded a significant amount of the laptop purchases that were needed to make sure that when students had to be engaged in distance learning, they had the devices in their homes available to them.
Last summer, the city of Norwalk partnered with the foundation to provide broadband internet access to all its school-aged children. Dalio gave a $315,000 grant. Another philanthropy, the B Foundation, gave $50,000, and the city of Norwalk contributed $150,000. Norwalk Mayor Harry Rilling says it was a lifeline to 1,000 families of public school children who did not have high-quality, reliable internet service at home. He says the city also provided people to help them navigate the internet.
They may need help in finding good medical coverage. They may need help in finding good nutritional information. Or they might need food. They might need some sort of assistance for their children that they may not know is available to them.
Two other foundations, the Per and Astrid Heidenreich Family Foundation and the Ritter Family Foundation, provided a $125,000 grant each to pay for the family navigators. And a philanthropic business group that includes Bank of America, First County Bank, Lapine Associates, Pitney Bowes, Synchrony, Tudor Foundation, and Xerox is funding local nonprofit educational organizations in Fairfield County. The first round of $300,000 in grants has just been awarded to 7 programs. McCarthy says while quantifiable data won't be available until the fall, she's sure students would have fallen further behind without the support.
Those resources have enabled the district to maintain student engagement and make real efforts to close the achievement gap.
In the meantime, the Dalio Foundation continues its partnership with the East Hartford School District, where its ill-fated partnership with Connecticut was launched. Its funding helps East Hartford provide a mentoring program for individual students. Ebong Udama, WSH News.
This story was made possible with the support of the Solutions Journalism Network, a nonprofit organization dedicated to rigorous and compelling reporting about responses to social problems. For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford HealthCare.
Here at WSHU, we think local news is important, and we're glad you think it's important too. Thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing our podcast with your friends. I'm Bill Buckner.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great weekend.